the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPALASLASLAACRRMM. HJDRALBAFWA.
CIA.
The FBI.
A.
Hey. Take off, Hoser. We don't speak for any of those guys.
Nope.
We don't even speak for that well for ourselves. However, the magic's about to happen, isn't it, Shelly?
Uh huh.
Yeah. She's like,
and if we can
like,
keep
yes,
Shelly awake long enough, we'll.
The magic's. Oh, yeah, the magic's about to happen. Yeah. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
Sweet. Peanut Gallery's got Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Hi. Look, she's rubbing her eyes now and yawning and the whole thing. Man.
Look what I started.
Lullaby and good night.
Outstanding. So, Shelly.
Yes.
Banter.
Go banter yourself.
I'm not in a plane.
You're a master banter.
With a guy hitting me with a book, like from last show. And if you didn't hear that, you guys should go back and hear that on last show, because that guy's got the world's greatest concentration.
Yeah, he does.
I'm telling you. I think about baseball for a second, and it all goes wrong. This guy's getting hit in the head with a book and a girl screaming at him.
Well, a girl screaming's okay.
Depends what she's screaming.
Not really.
It's so small!
Do you listen?
It's not good. Oh, my God, it's small.
That's all right.
I have a great...
It pleases me.
That's good. I have a great Chuck Norris one, but I can't say it.
No Chuck Norris.
Yeah, no Chuck Norris, please.
We are all done with that.
We're
everybody
done with it. Apparently
loves
he's
them.
Not.
I know.
Everybody loves them.
Everybody comes to me afterwards and goes, when's he going to finish those?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Terry and Larry keep sending them to me, and so does Falso. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it depends on which part of the group.
Yeah.
Because some of us are mental midgets compared to... Some of us are mental
midgets. I don't
spend
a lot of time with the adolescent crowd.
Yeah, some of us are mental midgets compared to the rest.
50-year-old adolescents.
Well, it's time for the boozy news on the news not fit for booze.
In Louisville... Kentucky. A Louisville woman faces first-degree disorderly conduct and menacing charges after police said she took out a sword during an argument at a Pizza Hut.
Dude, who carries a sword?
Apparently she does, in a scabbard. And she whipped it out and wielded it at the Pizza Hut employees because they weren't working fast enough, apparently.
Aye, matey.
Wow.
Yes. Her
is it
companion,
like a Civil War kind of sword kind of thing?
It didn't say what kind of sword it was. Her companion took the sword away from her.
Had the Redden Fair been in town?
Really?
Was she wearing like one of those bustier tops? You can always tell when someone's been to the Redden Fair. They're wearing like some girl goes into Starbucks. She's wearing like some insane bustier top and like some handcrafted
leather
moccasin booty things.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a look at this gal.
There wasn't much of a picture online. It was just her mugshot. Her face.
Did she look like a Ren Fair type?
No.
Oh.
Her companion took the sword away from her and put it in his car.
Oh,
by
I was
the, by
say
the time the police
her companion,
got there.
But it was a guy.
It was a guy.
Okay.
By the time the police got there.
Grabbed it and plunged it into his chest.
Perfect.
And wrote "you bitch" in his blood before he died.
Nice.
Now, this next one is a kind of a strange story, but it comes from...
Like the other one wasn't.
Well, stranger.
Wow. Hey, we got a strange story, not like the normal thing of pulling a sword out in the pizza parlor.
Okay, in Naples...
Florida!
Thank you. Okay. Two people on the beach. A man and a woman.
Seems normal so far.
They named a drink after this.
On the sand is a rotting watermelon carved into the shape of a face. The woman...
Wait a minute.
No. Oh, we're not going there.
Okay, go ahead.
The woman... No, we're not going there. The woman picks up the rotting watermelon and puts it in the water.
Does it turn out that it's not a watermelon?
No.
That's what I'm worried about. It might actually be a face.
No, it's not. It's still a rotting watermelon carved in the shape
of
a face.
Like
she puts
Jesus?
It in the water. The man comes along, takes it out of the water, and puts it back on the sand. She picks it up out of the sand and puts it back in the water, whereupon he decides to dump water from a swimming noodle onto her and then punch her in the face.
Wait. A swimming...
Yes.
Dump water from a swimming
noodle. He attacked her with a swimming noodle.
I know what a swimming noodle
is. Those are not lethal.
They have big holes in the middle of them, and apparently he picked up a bunch of water with it, dumped all the water out onto her, and then punched her in the face for moving the rotting watermelon.
He had already moved it once.
Well, she'd moved it first, so why didn't he leave it where she put it?
I'm not going to say. I'll get mail.
So did she... Now, wait a minute. He punched... So she had one black eye.
Well, I would guess so, after he punched her.
Don't. I stayed away from that.
You already know what it is.
Yeah, what do you tell a woman with two black eyes?
Apparently, he didn't have to tell her twice.
Nothing, you've already told her twice?
Yeah.
Yeah. I stayed away from it. You had to go there.
You went there. I said I wasn't going to say it.
You went.
I didn't say it. Mark came in with it. He was dying to say it anyway.
He's pleading the fifth.
That's right. I was enticed by you, big boy.
Wow.
In Livingston, I believe, Texas, a teacher at the high school there was arrested Monday morning after she helped students ingest chloroform. Does chloroform get you high?
Chloroform knocks you out.
Yeah, it knocks you the frick out.
Well, apparently she's done this several times with these students, giving them chloroform.
Yeah, it's a science thing, right?
Yeah, she's the chemistry teacher.
That's fine.
Let's hear the other part where she's feeling them all up after they're
knocked
out.
No, there wasn't any more into the story other than that. They just said that she's been helping students inhale chloroform using a towel.
Yeah.
That's usually what you call date rape.
No, it's not. Chemistry class, how's this stuff work? Here's how it works.
I went to chemistry class. I don't ever remember the guy chloroforming students to exhibit.
I don't talk about chemistry class.
It's like this. It's like, hey, Susie, why don't you come to my office after school and I'll show you how the chloroform works.
Well, it wasn't like that, apparently. I mean, she didn't do anything other than the kids other than give them chloroform.
How do they know?
I got an A and a 3-day suspension.
Because they're all knocked out.
She was also voted most spirited teacher.
What? You're laughing.
Most spirited teacher?
Most spirited teacher.
Okay. Well, she's getting all the kids loaded.
No.
Sarah and I
have our own conversation over there.
Okay.
We heard it.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
A British teenager has survived a 90-foot fall at a hotel in Mallorca.
Oh.
Yesterday.
Ouch. Doesn't sound
he
good.
He fell on a sun lounger. He landed on one of those big puffy loungers.
Let me ask you,
he got a broken arm and a broken ankle.
Was he trying to jump to the pool?
Yes, he was trying to jump into the pool from the seventh story. Yeah, from the seventh story. It doesn't say whether there are any drugs or alcohol involved, but I would bet at 19 there.
You know what? Maybe not.
This was just a stupid teenager.
Yeah, probably not. Because you know what? People, you have to be really careful, especially from the seventh floor, because you want to make sure you don't overshoot the pool, and you usually undershoot the pool. And if he hit one of the loungers, he probably undershot it by quite a bit. Wow.
Yeah, but the lounger saved his life.
Sweet.
What was the lounger's name?
What do you bet there's video of that somewhere?
I don't know. Look it up on YouTube.
I'll bet,
later.
Because his friend was downstairs. Hey,
for
video
sure.
Me jumping into the pool from the seventh floor.
Yeah, exactly. For sure someone was using her phone or something. Because I've seen videos like that, like fail video compilations, yeah, where there's guys that are, yeah, trying to jump off
fail
buildings. Yeah. Failblog.org. Yeah. A fine website, by the way, failblog.org. We should charge them for that, failblog.org.
In Palmerston, Australia.
In what?
Palmerston, Australia.
Okay.
The parrots have been at the hooch again. Parrots are dropping out of the trees, dead drunk. Because it's that time of year again when a particular tree, and it doesn't even say it in the story. It's a fruit of this particular tree that the story doesn't even say the name of the tree, which really irritated me.
Well, it's because a bunch of people will be going out buying those trees.
Probably. And apparently at this time of every year, parrots start dropping out of the trees because they eat the fruit.
So it's like
ripens.
That video.
It's like those monkeys, yeah. The video of the
monkeys and this elephant.
Yeah.
They're eating this rotting fruit that falls out of the trees, and the elephant is like so hammered. He's on his knees on the ground. He's still reaching out with his trunk and grabbing fruit off the ground. I mean, he's just hammered.
Yes, apparently the bad side of this is that it takes about 3 days for a parrot to completely sober up, and then they have a hangover.
How do they know
he has a hangover?
Well, I don't know, but they apparently studied these parrots.
The parrot like hold his wing, yeah, up to its head, go, oh. Yeah. Maybe they tell him.
Got
maybe
any tomato
do they
juice
speak?
And a couple aspirin?
I don't know.
Yeah, do they speak?
I don't know. Hangover. Hangover.
Probably want an Excedrin.
Oh, yeah, my hand. Exactly. Okay.
Polly's got drives.
In Henderson, Nevada.
Been there many times.
The city attorney has been picked up for a DUI. She
only once?
Acknowledged that she had been drinking bottles of wine, and when the police officer asked her if she was impaired, she said, "Yes, I am effed up."
You know what? See? She should have drank and drove in Vegas, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But she drank in Henderson, which is just down the road a wee bit.
Yes, well, no one
was
hurt.
She was honest.
She did crash into a... She is going to get a leaving the scene because she crashed into some landscaping and a fire hydrant and then tried to walk away from her vehicle, so she will get a leaving the scene.
Maybe she... Well, if I was her, I'd claim the vehicle was on fire.
She'll plead with herself.
What if the vehicle was on fire? That's why she was walking away from it.
End up being a wet reckless.
It could have exploded at any moment.
They found an empty 1.5-liter bottle of Chardonnay in her car.
That's a bit.
Yeah, but she said she'd been drinking bottles, plural, so that wasn't the only one.
Two bottles.
There you go.
Okay, so here's the scenario. You're at a ball game, and you have a disorderly drunk guy shouting and spitting all around the place, you know, shouting, and he's just sputum going everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Then on the other side of you, you have this kid with a vuvuzela.
Uh-huh.
Which one is more dangerous?
I'd hit the drunk guy with the vuvuzela.
Okay, I didn't think of that. But, Mark, which one is more dangerous?
The guy with the vuvuzela.
Yes, but do you know why?
Yeah, because he's annoying.
No, because the vuvuzela, they did some studies, and apparently the vuvuzela, each second that you are breathing into a vuvuzela, you are producing 4 million bacterial particles that become airborne, as opposed to the guy who is shouting and spitting all over you, which is only 7,000 bacterial particles per second.
They're both going down.
Yeah.
We can try this if you'd like.
Well, no thanks.
You can
put a
drunk guy on one side of me and a vuvuzela on the other. They're both going down.
I like Bruce's answer, but beat the drunk guy with the vuvuzela.
I like
Hell
that.
Yeah.
That works for me. But that's just gross. So that's another reason not to have vuvuzelas.
And vuvuzela, again, is like a horn.
Yeah, it's a big plastic horn. And it goes...
For those of you who don't remember the vuvuzela at the Olympics...
They're very loud,
at
right?
The soccer matches, they were so annoying, they had to do some, after the second round, they had to do some magical sound manipulation so we could actually watch the matches on TV.
And extraordinarily loud, right?
Yeah, they're actually banned in a couple of countries.
They used to do those at the Covina Christmas Parade, and they... stopped selling them because people were like blowing them like in groups of people, and it would like hurt your ears like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine a stadium with like thousands of people with them going. Good Lord.
I could.
You did.
Okay, we have our dumb criminal of the week. This guy takes the cake.
Okay.
He's already an inmate at the Iowa Prison Classification Center at Coralsville. He's now been sentenced to 8 years in prison on Tuesday after pleading guilty to charges of threatening the president and threatening to blow up a building. He sent a letter to the president that read in part that underground operations were about to attack more than two federal buildings and they had a plan to go after the president. And do you know how he got caught?
Because he sent a letter? Did he put his return address?
He put his return address on the letter. Now that's a dumb criminal.
Well, you know. He was thoughtful, though.
He was thoughtful? What do you mean he was thoughtful?
First he wanted to warn everyone, and then he wanted to tell them where he could be found in case they wanted to contact him for further information.
In Thousand Oaks, this is kind of an ooh story.
Ooh.
A 16-year-old girl is in serious condition after she fell from the back of a pickup truck while egging a home with friends.
Ooh, ow.
They were, well, it was a return egging. She was egging this person's house because they'd egged her house earlier in the day with her friends. Yeah, it was retaliatory. She was standing up in the bed of the truck when the guy took off.
Oh.
And she fell out of the truck. Then the teenagers that were in the car behind her didn't see her.
Oh.
Ran her over and dragged her 100 feet.
Oh, my God.
The road rash is just...
Yeah, she's in the hospital right now with a couple broken bones and tons of road rash.
Oh, she's lucky.
Yeah.
Couple broken bones?
Yeah.
After falling out of one truck, which you could have just cracked your head open, and then getting run over by a car and then dragged?
Uh-huh.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's ouch time.
You're right. That was a, oh, ow. It's like sometimes I see those videos of people that like fall skateboarding and stuff, and it's like at the moment they hit, I cannot watch the screen because it's just, ow. Ow, ow.
Okay, the last story. Let's just do this last story, which I do not know where it took place because I copied most of the story, but I missed the first paragraph somehow.
Okay.
At any rate, what happened was, man and a woman, they're getting a divorce. However, he invites her over for a weekend just to get together.
Of course, he's a dog.
They get drunk and decide that they are going to shoot some stuff up. He decides he's going to shoot her. She runs away from him. He aims and fires.
Whoa,
shoots through the closet, hits the washing machine, and floods his entire house.
When you said shoot some stuff up.
Like, they both had guns.
Yeah, I'm thinking drugs.
No.
See, I'm such an addict.
Yeah, no, they were shooting with AR-15s.
Wow.
In the house.
In the house.
He was going to shoot her up?
At first they were targeting things in the house.
Okay.
And then he turned the gun on her. She made a run for it, and he missed her and hit the washing machine through the closet.
Clearly.
And flooded the entire house.
First of all, he shot an AR-15 at her and missed?
Yeah, that's what it says in the story.
Wow, that's...
Isn't it automatic?
It can be.
At the very least semi.
Yeah, at least he's going to fire a burst.
Well, then she's darn lucky.
He's a darn bad shot.
And she did not shoot back at him?
Because when you fire those guns, it ain't like in the movies.
When they asked her to give her written statement to the police, she said, well, I'll try, but I'm pretty drunk.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah.
And that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770. Recovery 101. Clean up.
wheat.
Dude.
Having had a spiritual awakening.
As a result
of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
So no affairs until you've done the 12 steps.
Then you can do the 13th step, 14th step, 15th step.
Affairs, then.
14th step is when the sponsor watches the 13th step. Hey, now. So, step 12. Who wants to finish the step?
What if you finish the first 11 steps and didn't have a spiritual awakening?
Or what if you get to, like, step 6 and you have a spiritual awakening?
Yeah, Bruce.
Yeah.
The steps are in order for a reason.
Yeah. Right. But there are people that have been struck dumb by a spiritual awakening before they finish the steps.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, it doesn't even say all 12, does it? Oh!
So if
we like to call that owned.
So if I'm on step 5 and there's a newcomer looking for help, I can't help him?
No, you can help him.
Well.
Sure. You can always help him.
Well, the steps are in order.
They are.
So the 12th step is where you start helping people.
Yeah. 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 Owned. Re-owned.
No. Yeah, he's re-owned. I want to refinance. You know what? I don't know. There are those, and plenty of those, that say you shouldn't be helping anyone until you get to that point in your recovery. And there's other people that will say the guy with 3 days can help the guy with 1 day.
A little.
Well, that's all they can help is a little.
Yeah, but at that point, it's highly likely that they'll be helping each other down to the liquor store.
I mean, think about it. I remember being at a meeting one time. It was an old-timers meeting in Pasadena, California. You needed like 20 years to speak, and then when they were doing chips, I'd seen a guy take a 30-day chip, and a guy taking a 60-day chip, and a guy taking like a 34-year cake. And I know the guy with the 34-year cake is lying. But I'm looking at the guy with 30 days, and I'm like, I want to know how he did that, because that sounded sort of doable. So that guy could have really helped me, where really at that point I probably wouldn't have listened to the guy with 35 years, because I knew he was lying.
You went back out again, didn't you?
Huh?
You went back out again, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, see.
I did.
Because you went to the guy with 30 days and he couldn't help you.
No, actually, he helped me where I was at the time.
Yeah. On your way out to
I was at Impact House. I was impressed. 30 days was impressive to me. 30 years was not that impressive to me, because I just knew he couldn't be telling the truth.
Well, it seems so huge. 30 years, somebody takes a 30-year cake, you're like, I'll never get that.
I think I might.
Oh, I'm going to, if I live that long. If I live that long, it's done deal.
You'll live that long.
No fronts.
I'll harass you until you do.
Since you already harassed me.
And see, it's working.
It's perfect. You're still alive.
So, Shelley, what do you think about step 12? Do you think that people can work portions of step 12 before they get to it? Or do you think people need to wait until they get through all 12 steps? I've heard of people that have been told by their sponsors it's okay to start sponsoring people, even if you're not all the way through your steps. As long as your sponsee stays behind you.
Yeah, somebody told me once that as long as you stay a step ahead of them. I'm like, I don't think so. I think that just by the nature of the way the program works, you're going to end up doing some of step 12 before you get through the steps, because your sponsor is going to take you on 12-step calls for other people. I mean, it's going to happen. I was going on panels and
there is being of service. There are many. I don't know a whole lot of coffee makers and chip people that are in, you know, double-digit sobriety. Usually it's newcomers. And that's part of helping people as well. So I don't know.
But that's not carrying the message.
How about if you're a literature person?
Well, you're literally,
what could be more
carrying the message.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could be more carrying the message than bringing the books.
I carried the message for 3 years to a meeting.
Yeah. But we already know that Bill and Bob didn't write the book correctly anyway. So we don't know for sure what that means.
Yeah, they spelled cauldron wrong.
Well, they also put too many words in because they changed the book.
A seething cauldron of debate.
Yes, it's a seething cauldron.
Yeah. Leave it to Shelley to find the misspelled words in the big book. Have you gone through the NA basic text? Did you find anything there yet?
I haven't gone through that whole text, no. I've only read the first couple of chapters.
We'll be looking for an update from
you
later.
How about the other part of step 12?
That's the part I have trouble with. The practice
these
principles
in all
our
affairs.
Yeah, that's the part I have trouble with.
Well, and that's the thing. It's in all our affairs. How often do we fall short on that one?
On
well,
a daily
it's
basis.
Progress, not perfection. There's the loophole.
There you go. Yeah.
Loophole.
There's a lot of loopholes. It's kind of like, you know, they're talking about your ninth step. Many guys have been wild. Should we tell the wife? Not always, we think. That's what it says. Not always, we think. That would be called leading with the chin. And I'm thinking, wow, how's that for a justification?
The biggest loophole of all, you know. These steps are suggested as a program of recovery.
True.
Yeah, it doesn't even say you have to do them.
Yeah.
And there's many people that don't. So, yes. You've done lots of 12-step stuff.
Yeah, I've done a bit.
Give some examples just of what you think 12-step stuff is, because there's a bunch.
I've got a couple of guys that I sponsor that are in treatment centers right now that aren't real close.
No,
and
not real close at all.
And I've been burning a little gas lately going to visit.
It's a hike.
Yeah, you know.
I got a guy that's way closer. I don't go see him at all.
Yeah. You know, it's. I just think it's important. I think that, you know, my sponsor was there for me for whatever I needed.
My sponsor.
When I first got here.
Of course, I didn't stay sober. I was going to say, my sponsors never came and saw me at, like, Impact or any of those places.
You weren't ready. They knew it.
Yeah.
They could smell it on you.
They could smell the booze on me.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways to carry the message, too. I mean, I used to, I should probably do this again because I haven't done it in a long time, but when I was fairly new, you know, I couldn't put together a coherent message, but I could still carry the message by, you know, I took meeting directories to the library with me and inserted them in between all the books on alcoholism so that people that were looking for answers would find a meeting directory and could take it with them.
Well, how about this? H&I, right? H&I, set up by various programs to carry the message, straight out tells you, you only need 90 days to go on a panel. Now, maybe they're thinking that everyone with 90 days going on the panel has worked all 12 steps.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So I don't know if it's a, because I've always heard people say the steps are written in order for a reason and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the steps are like a recipe. You know, you don't bake the cake before you mix the ingredients or something. So, I don't know. It's kind of one, you know, six of one,
yeah,
half dozen of the other.
Yeah, but it don't matter if you add the brown sugar before the white sugar or the white sugar before the brown sugar either.
The what? What?
Well, it's not like a recipe. You don't always have to follow a recipe exact. Just the major parts.
Like, don't cook it before you add all the ingredients kind
right.
of thing?
Yeah.
Don't serve it before you've baked it.
Right. But what if you add the ingredients in a different order?
Depends.
It depends on which steps you're talking about.
Let's say you make cherries.
To end this metaphor.
Let's say you make cherries jubilee and you add all the booze first.
Okay. When do you want me to do that?
Whenever you want.
Okay.
I'll wait for you right here. I'll be here when you get back.
We've had the cooking with booze discussion already.
Yeah, have we extended this metaphor as far as it's going to go?
Okay. Practicing these principles in all our affairs. I think you just do the best you can to...
I think that's the best you can hope for is to do the best you can.
Yeah.
How well do you think you do that, Shelley?
It depends. I actually think I practice these principles a lot better when I'm around program people, but you get around untreated normies, and... some of them I just kind of can't handle them.
Ooh.
Ooh, what?
So you're only loving, product caring, and sharing with other alkies? Everyone else,
yeah.
they can go lump it?
No, it's not that they can go lump it. It's just that sometimes you run up against people that are supposedly normies, and they just get irritating, especially when I used to work at the library, and some of the patrons that would come in would just... set your teeth on edge. And they're supposed to be the normal people.
Well, normal is as normal does.
True.
How about you, Mark? What do you What do you think? How are you with normies? Are you able to do it with normies? Or is it a, like, sometimes yes, sometimes no?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah. I think it's you just do the best you can. I'd love to say I work it in all my affairs. And you know what? Sometimes I can say I do, and other times I can say I don't.
Well, it's like rigorous honesty. What is rigorous honesty?
Yeah, that's when you start hearing people like differentiate the honesty. Well, I'm not talking cash register honesty. I'm talking about self-honesty. And I'm like, really? So honesty has got like four or five different meanings now. Or are you talking about the honesty when the girl says, do these pants make my butt look big?
That is a situation in which it is clearly more beneficial to lie.
Aren't you supposed to be, in rigorous honesty, say no, it's your big fat ass that makes your pants look big?
Only if you want a split lip.
Oh, see, there you go.
There are certain situations in which it is a little white lie goes a long way.
Well, and is rigorous honesty, does that mean... I mean, rigorous honesty to me, I've always looked at it, and it's like the important thing is that at least I tell myself the truth about it.
Well, I've heard that a lot. I have a friend in the program.
Yes, we've heard it from you.
A former show host that used to say, you know, as long as I'm honest with myself, and I'm like, wow. So you can basically say anything you want at any time, but as long as you know the truth yourself, then it's okay. Yikes. Not really a lot to do with step 12, but,
Yeah, it's practicing these principles.
I mean, that's true.
If you know you can sell a bed for $500, but you sell it for $599, were you being rigorously honest?
I'm not being dishonest.
Oh, here we go.
Now we have a fifth definition.
It's not a fifth definition. It's like I'm not being dishonest. I'm not lying to them.
We've already done this one on
if
another
they ask, because if they ask me if I can sell it for less, I'll say...
We're trying to stretch
I think
here.
I can. And I do. Matter of fact, I've been chastised by you for giving people too big of discounts. Look at that bastard. Shelley, what are your final words on the subject?
Just looking out for you, Bruce.
Progress, not perfection.
Ooh, I was going to hold that one and use it, and she...
All right, I'm done.
Flung it.
No, and just, you know, when it...
You shouldn't add to that.
I think that I'm going to add to that. I think it's a good idea, you know, if your sponsor offers to take you on a panel or a 12-step call or something like that, go with her or him because it's an important part of your recovery. And, you know, the more days that you pile up and then you see a newcomer, makes you kind of not want to go back out because you don't want to be that person. It's part, you know, it's selfish, but you're using the newcomer to help you stay sober. And as for practicing these principles, you know, do your best and leave the rest to God.
Mark?
There you go. And that's it, you know. Do the steps. That's the hard part here. You know, it's like the story about, you know, I can teach you how to get $1 million and not pay taxes on it. First you get $1 million. And then, you know, it's like work the 12 steps. When you get to step 12, all this will already happen. It will be very natural. It's like every other step. As soon as you complete one, you fall right into the next one. Not an issue.
So that's true.
Once you've prayed and meditated and get a closer conscious contact with God, that is a spiritual awakening. If you don't have the spiritual awakening yet, you didn't do that part. Go back to the step 11.
Yes. My last words on this are, you know what? I love to help other people, but it's a selfish program, and I'm helping them because nothing insures me so much against the first drink or the first drug as working with another alcoholic addict. Says it. I believe it. It's always worked for me that way. And you know what? If me being selfish benefits you, that's awesome. Even if it doesn't benefit you, it benefits me.
Because the only way I get to keep it
is if I give it away. Sweet. Shelly. Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
I knew somebody was going to get one of those in there at some point.
Had to. Can't just go cold turkey.
It was the undisciplined guy.
Yeah, you can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities, and he will give you all the information that you need to set up the 12-Step Gazette in your town.
Sweet.
Yay.
There's also intherooms.com. That is an online sort of a pseudo Facebook of recovery. They've got many programs du jour. Whatever your program is, you can probably find it there. There's groups like Friends of Recovery 101. We've
That's
got
us.
An embedded player there. It sure is. You can turn on the player while you surf around the site. You can post on people's things. You can go to online meetings. You can do chats. You can do all that stuff. It's all absolutely free. Mark, do we have any email addresses?
We do. You can email us at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com, and recovery101radio@gmail.com. Should you wish to be an advertiser or would have interest in joining our sales staff, you can go to recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
Sweet. There's videos at youtube.com/ and
youtube.com/
Recovery 101 Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
I was losing it there for a second.
Yeah, you blew the first one completely.
Did I? YouTube.com/easylook
Yeah.
What did I say?
YouTube.com/ Then you just kind of left easy look out.
Oh, sweet. Well,
yes,
we've done all 12 steps.
Brings us to the end.
We've done all 12 steps. I guess our work here is done.
Serious.
This is Recovery 101 signing off forever. We finished the steps. We're done. We've accomplished.
What?
Peanut Gallery's like, what? No, we'll be back next time with.
Now it's time to start step one again.
We'll do the tradition. Yeah, this is should. Now it's, you know what? We never talked about that.
Yeah.
We should talk about working the steps as an overall thing sometime because there's some interesting questions about that.
You should always be able to answer the question, what step are you on?
Yeah. Even if it's 12.
Bruce, what step are you on?
12. Shelly?
What?
What? What's who's the lead out music by?
How about Boston?
More Than a Feeling.
Don't Look Back?
I was going to say Don't Look Back.
Party? It's a party, so come on!
No. We'll just let Bruce sing the lead out music.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Good night.